You're listening to the Feel Good Wedding Podcast, a podcast by Polka Dot Wedding. My name is Dorothy and I am the founder and editor of Polka Dot Wedding, and I have been writing about weddings for over 16 years. In fact, I love them. I love everything about a wedding, but I know that a wedding is beyond the pretty. I know that so much goes into every single one of those details that are chosen, the tips and tricks behind it, the couple's stories, and the vendor that brings it all to life. And so the Feel Good Wedding Podcast was born because we thought these are stories and conversations that we want to have, and we're really looking forward to having them with you as our listener. Can't wait to show you what we have in store. The Polka Dot Wedding team is honoured to conduct our work on the land of the Boonwurrung, Woi Wurrung, Eora and Kurungi people. We honour the traditional Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander custodians of the land, and we pay our respects to elders past and present. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Feel Good Wedding Podcast. Today we are doing something a little bit different. We're going behind the scenes of Polka Dot Wedding because we figured you might want to get to know us a little bit better. So we thought we'd have some chats with the team. Today we're talking to Mary, Miss Rose, and we're going to chat about something that's really close to our heart this week. We're going to chat all about inclusivity and really why a wedding blog should even care or does even care about inclusivity. And we've got a little bit of an insight into the way that we work things at Polka Dot Wedding that we hope you'll really enjoy. So hello, Mary.
Hi, Miss Polka. How are you going?
Good. I'm really excited to just like dive into something that we talk about behind the scenes so much.
So much. Yeah, we do. And that's, I think, it was really exciting to sort of decide to do this podcast session because I think the idea is to take a lot of what we chat about and actually put it out there so that anybody listening, hello, hi, it's us, you can sort of get an idea of what we do behind the scenes, how our brains work behind the scenes, and very much about inclusivity and putting diverse content on the website for you. So look, I think I'm really excited. Let's start. I think the best thing we can do to start is introduce ourselves. Hi, I'm Miss Rose, or Mary. I'm the specialty blog editor, and it is me that will be reaching out to you in terms of if I want to create content for our specialty blogs, which are Polka Dot Wisdom, Polka Dot You, Polka Dot Honeymoons, and Polka Dot Made, which are fantastic blogs. I love them so much. And yeah, Miss Polka, on to you.
So obviously you may know that I am Dorothy, otherwise known as Miss Polka Dot, and I am the founder and editor of Polka Dot Wedding. I founded Polka Dot Wedding, and I can't even remember now, 15 or 16 years ago. Can't remember which one.
Literally, I'm going to say 16. Let's go 16.
It's from, I've think forgotten now. Right. We're getting to the point where I've forgotten how old we are.
It's like how old we get. And it's
yeah, exactly.
The same. Yeah.
From like a little corner of our office at home in a little chair because I wanted to share everything that I loved about weddings. Because if you've read anything about Polka Dot Wedding, you know that I fell in love with weddings at a really young age. I would drag my dad to the library and make him help me photocopy wedding magazines because I loved all the bits, and I would plan weddings at home and all that kind of stuff. And so that grew. And when I started Polka Dot Wedding, there really wasn't anything around in Australia. So I was able to share all the things that I really loved. And now here we are.
And here we are, 15 or 16 years later. And we're thriving and having a really, really good time doing it and being able to show content to our vendors and our readers that we are really passionate about. So thank you for dragging your lovely dad to the library all those years ago and you know, cultivating this love of weddings, which just shines through in so much of what you do. Like, you really are this wonderful guiding light for the rest of us in terms of what we put on the website. It's really fun to work with you to create this space for couples and for vendors. It's super, super fun. Now, you've sort of said, you know, how you started it. Well, not how, but why you started it. Like how did you start? Was it just like, did you
look back in the day? Blogs are really connected. So I started on Blogger, which was a Google blog platform, which was like, I was so horrible at anything tech. I had to pay someone to upload our header, which I had clunkily designed in like Paint. It was awful. but everyone in the blogging community, like Abby of Styled Me Pretty, and we had B of Wedding Bee and Brooklyn Bride, like all those like
original wedding blogs, we were all so connected, and we would have like blog rolls down the side of our blogs where we'd link to each other. And it was just such a different sense of community, and it's evolved so much since then. But it was just, we were able to connect and talk about different stuff and share different stuff. And it just sort of grew from that. I didn't really do much because I wasn't actively pursuing a business or pursuing anything but sharing my love of weddings. So it just kind of grew from the fact that there really wasn't anything around back then. And I know everyone says, oh, look, there was a gap in the market. There wasn't anything around when I started my business. And you always think, you roll your eyes and you're like, you just didn't look hard enough.
Yeah,
but really, this was before Instagram and even Twitter and really Facebook. There was nothing around to share wedding stuff except some wedding forums and physical wedding magazines. So it was brand new to everyone at that point.
And for especially couples in Australia planning their weddings, there would have been, if you were looking for inspiration, you would have to look at magazines, which are still beautiful. But I think online must have really been fresh and new then, and would have been really exciting to be like, oh, I can't find this.
The cusp of when everyone was starting to realize that you could do your wedding your way. Like, everyone says that's a trend now, but it really has been a trend for maybe the past decade, where couples were suddenly like, oh, actually, maybe I don't have to do that. Yeah. Maybe I could do this. And I remember early on, someone emailed me and was like, I want to advertise with you, but your content changes every day, and I really don't like, I'm not comfortable with that. And it was that whole like educating everyone of, hey, this is what a blog actually is. It is dynamic. It does move. And so everyone was kind of going, what is this stuff? And like, what's happening? Can do my wedding my way, or I could, you know, be a part of this website. It was so different to what was already people were used to.
Yeah, exactly. And look what we are. Look what we have now. Like, so many platforms,
so much inspiration,
so much noise, which on one hand is really, really fun. And I'm so glad that this is, you know, the journey of wedding inspiration online. But at that time, it would have been really, really confusing for a lot of people who are used to going down to the shop or going to the library, checking out a magazine, picking up a magazine and seeing it, but that's it. I remember doing that for my wedding, was going and getting magazines and jumping online as well. But you sort of would read through them and that was it, which was beautiful.
Yeah, that was all you had, wasn't it?
That's it. And you sort of had to pile them up and dog ear or cut out things you liked where it was, you know.
But look, even when I started, there were like 5 or 6 wedding magazines, and I would go down every month and diligently buy them. And I went to the newsagent last week and there were 2.
I know.
They don't even stock many anymore. Like, so amazing to see how the world has changed in a decade.
Just that shift. And again, I think a lot of those magazines have gone online because in terms of paper wastage and that sort of thing, like it's online platforms for wedding inspiration is just so the place to be. And you were just without even knowing, hitting the pulse of that so early on. And
look, I didn't know anything. I was just winging it like everyone else was winging
Thank
it.
Thank you
there
for
was
winging
no,
it.
I didn't go into this wanting to start a business. I went into this because I purely adored weddings and was like, oh my gosh, there's these amazing cupcakes at this store in Sydney. I want to share them. Like, it was purely about that. It was never about business. So I was winging it as much as everyone else.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I think when you hear people say, oh, I started this because I have a real passion for whatever it is. I have a passion for, I don't know, dogs. I have a passion for blah. Like, whatever you have a passion for, like, you are so truly telling like your absolute truth of you just love them. Like you're saying, you had no view to going, oh, hang on, there's not something like this for weddings out there. Oh, I'm going to tap into this. You're purely doing it because you love it. And I think that is something that you have so beautifully kept for like 16 years on. You're still
How did that happen? How does anyone still love weddings after that long? No, I still do. I still pore over every picture. I will put like the song that they walk down the aisle to or the wedding reception song, and I'll get in there and write it, and I still adore every moment of it. But I should say, I don't do it alone, and you and I don't do it alone. We do have a team.
We do have a team. And I was just going to say, you do, you know, in terms of the team, like you we all, not just you, but we do, you know, if we're writing about a wedding or we're searching for a wedding or any of the details that really speak to us, we get a real kick out of sending it back and forth to each other. You know, we'll send it and go,
oh, check this moment out. Oh, look at that.
Look how they propose. Like, you know, we get really chuffed with these stories, which is totally, you know, exactly. another part of what we're going to say is the stories are huge for us. But you're right. We do have a team. Can you run through our team, please, for me?
Fleur de Lis, or Fleur, is our amazing editorial assistant. So she manages all our correspondence, like my emails, because no, I can't. It's too much. But she also helps us out with a whole bunch of editorial tasks. She's just this amazing. She knows, has a finger on the pulse. She knows what's up all the time, and I rely on her greatly for being the sort of go-between and seeing stuff before I say it. She's amazing.
She's so cool too.
Peacock. She's really cool. I feel like all my team at Fargo Not Wedding is so much cooler than me, and I'm not worthy.
This is also not true. That's not true. But Sarah is like, I'm sorry, but just extra cool. Like,
yes.
She's really fun.
And we have brand new, who has just come into this role in the past couple of weeks, Julia, who is Miss Peacock, who is our submissions manager. So she manages all the weddings and features and style shoots across Polka Dot Featured, which is our main title, sources a whole bunch of weddings, focuses a lot on our diversity, which we're obviously going to talk about.
We are. We'll get into it. And she's really lovely. She's really she's very warm, really warm. So is someone to really be able to speak to.
And she's a food blogger as well. So we'll have to share her food blog at some point because it's amazing, because it's all about sentimental stories. And it's just divine.
She's super sentimental. Yeah.
Well, she fits in well with me then.
Doesn't she what?
We have Miss Strifey, or Carolina, who does all our membership management for all our wonderful members who are our beautiful vendors that just are so talented. And she helps out managing all of their subscriptions and all of that kind of thing. And then we have she also considers herself quite bitter, so she would go, oh, Mary, and laugh at you.
And she's so not. She's so dear and thoughtful, and so the perfect person for that role, because she cares so much about our vendors and anyone in our directory and anyone writing to us. She's, you know, puts in that extra bit of effort to really make everyone feel really seen. And I think that's a really, you know, you can't sort of teach that. That's definitely inherently her.
So you're good at selling us. I'm no good at this part. I should just let you introduce everyone. But finally, too, we have other people that do play a significant role. So we've got people like Miss Honeycomb, who is Nicola, who, if you've ever looked at Polka Dot Made, does the most amazing tutorials. Goodness. And she's just
fantastic.
She's got this eye and this skill that just is incomparable. And we've got other people that we call in. So our developer is called Sadiq, and he has made magic happen with all of our tech. We have a whole bunch of other people that dabble in and out and do things like writing or tech and bits and pieces for us. So we're kind of all across the globe because we are completely remote as a team. We all work from home. In fact, I haven't met Julia yet. So often it takes us a year or two to even meet.
We'll have to fly her in for cocktails.
So exactly. She promised she'd come down for bubbles.
How long did it take us to meet?
I can't remember
how long it took us to meet. That was in 2015 I started. And it took us a few months to meet, and it was very exciting.
We always talk so often.
I was excited.
So I never kind of feel like I'm missing much, because we're always talking constantly with each other. So I don't really feel like it's a bit of an issue. But yeah, we all work remotely. I couldn't do a single thing that I do without our team. And I'm just so thankful for them every day. And like I said, I feel not worthy for them every day, because the work that they put in and the effort they make to understand my vision for Polka Dot Wedding and embrace that is huge for me. I'm going to do a different theme for each one of our behind the scenes episodes.
And today I thought it would be really fun. When I say fun, I can say fun and important to say, sort of introduce us a little bit, like the team, which we've done. Now, I would really want to merge into something we talk about a lot, and which is the absolute beating heart of Polka Dot Wedding, which is inclusivity. It is incredibly important to us. Now, like, how it became important to us, I think, is something that we touch on a fair bit when we're sort of,
yes,
you know, whenever we're having our meetings or talking about a particular feature. Yeah. inclusivity across so many different sort of, I hate the word labels or anything like that, but, you know, like is something we thought it would be really fun and to sort of get to know the Polkadot team, the pattern people, a little bit more and who's behind the scenes. Because a lot of the time we're creating this content with you and for you. So we thought we'd sort of say, hi, it's us, you know, this is who we are. And now I think we should sort of talk a little bit about what we do and what's really important to us. And inclusivity is the absolute beating heart of what 100%. We do and is the most important thing to us.
Yeah.
Like at what point through the creating the website did you start to really see that this could be an angle that needed to be looked at, needed to be touched upon, needed to have a real space with the wedding blogging industry?
Well, and firstly, I should say that we're using inclusivity as like an umbrella term because we do in the work that we do talk inclusivity, diversity, equality. Like we understand that it's not just one point. But for us, like I was always, oh, well, of course I'll feature every wedding. Like I've been featuring LGBTQ weddings probably since year one or two, Canadian ones since then. And I always was conscious of I have to work to make sure that our content reflects diverse stories and it's not all a Caucasian heterosexual couple. But it wasn't until the Black Lives Matter movement where Z Scott, who I talked about in this podcast, so you should go and listen to that one, is a member of Polkadot Wedding, but she's also a BIPOC woman, had this incredible story that she shared on Instagram. And she probably didn't think much of it because she probably thought she was just sharing her story, but it really changed everything about how I viewed inclusion and the stuff that we were doing on Polkadot Wedding. So it was all about this experience she'd had at a supermarket with racism and the difference between people that were like, I'm not racist, and just were silently watching on, and someone who was actively anti-racist and supported Z in that moment. And for me, it really crystallized the difference between saying, oh, I'm inclusive. Of course I accept LGBTQ weddings. Of course I look for plus size weddings, and actively making changes in the business and actively seeking out that content and actively being anti-racist and inclusive, and how that would change in our business. And the way that we then thought about things shifted because it was less about, well, of course we accept everyone, into, okay, what do we need to change in the business? What do we need to change in our submissions and everything else to make sure that we are actively making a difference in the world and actively making a difference in weddings so that everyone can see themselves? So it really shifted, and it was all from that moment.
Yeah, that's a really poignant, really, really heavy moment, isn't it? And I think, like you were saying, Z shared it without the thought of it sort of doing anything specifically, but, you know, it, for the fact that it changed your and our, as a team, view on how we ran our business so that it could become and still is becoming a place for diversity. You know, that's changed. That's, you know, one trajectory changing in a, you know, to a certain way. So, you know, like you make these little posts on it, like these posts on Instagram or, you know, Twitter comment or something like that. You don't know who you're touching, and in a good way too. And
exactly.
I think something that we are doing, well, I hope it's a good thing that we're doing all the time, is that, you know, like we said, like you said, where they're going, of course we are, of course we're, you know, inclusive, but it's saying, wait, we can learn all the time. We can still be learning how to do this. You know, we do not have all the answers. And I think that's something that we constantly say throughout our content and through anything that we share, is that we're still learning. You know, we're reaching out. We're trying to find path in this to make it so much easier for these stories to come to us as well. And that's something I know that we struggle with, is that we're searching for these stories of all different types of people in different types of walks of life who are getting married or, you know, who are in the wedding industry. And yes, we actively look for it, but it's also about the fact that it needs to be actively shared as well, which we struggle with because I find it's so not. It's still so not, everything's very white. Everything's very straight.
Yes. I think by saying, oh, well, of course I am, you kind of – well, I have found personally, I've removed myself from the responsibility that comes with, I don't know, being a white woman in the wedding industry and having that privilege, because it says, oh, well, it's, of course I'm inclusive. I don't have to do anything more. I've said it. Like, what else do I need to do?
It's just not enough.
And because the active work that we do in the way that we have changed our name, which I know we're going to talk about, and done a whole bunch of changes around the site and a whole bunch of stuff we still need to do, takes work. It takes reflection. It takes being really uncomfortable with the beliefs that you have shown up with. But also on top of that, I think when you are a white woman or someone with a lot of privilege, you kind of get blinded and you think, well, it's all fine. And then nothing changes because you're like, I've done my part. I've said that I'm inclusive.
Exactly.
What do I need to do? So then nothing shifts.
That's it. But I think, and that's something that I really am proud of with our team, is that we talk about inclusivity and diversity so much behind the scenes. A lot of our, and I'm saying this in terms of, we're really open and honest all together. We call each other out. We ask each other, you know, how do I word this? Is this the correct way to do this? You know, what am I looking for? How can I shift this to make this, you know, better? And we're not, you know, none of us are above asking each other questions, doing this, doing the research, reaching out to who we need to reach out to make sure that it's not our narrative being told. And I find we're doing that for a team in a really comfortable place, but I think
while still getting very uncomfortable with the realizations that we've had,
like I think the team, I find that I'm really comfortable with our team to pull each other up, is what I'm saying, and say, hey, that's not right, or hey, no, like we're not afraid. We're a comfortable team together. We work beautifully, but we're not afraid then to say, oh, hang on, no, you've got that wrong. And
it doesn't fit.
Like, that's what I mean by, I think we have uncomfortable conversations, but we do them quite 100%. Often too, which I'm really, really proud of us
just
for.
The only way I think you can actually do it is to actually have those conversations where you sit with yourself and you go, oh, that doesn't feel good. And doesn't that feel good?
And honestly, feel a bit crappy about yourself, because there's a reason you do. If you're feeling not good about how something's come across, or what you shared, or how you've spoken to someone, there's probably a good gut instinct. There's probably a good reason for it. You've probably really gone off board with with offense or what you should or should not be shared. And I think, in terms of like the name change, I think that's a really good point, because, you know, in terms of, we're not afraid to change things. We're not afraid to go, all right, what's working for the business, what isn't working? We have those conversations. But in terms of being inclusive, what doesn't work and what do we need to change? Because those are conversations we have really often. Yeah. When did the name change sort of start to niggle at you?
It started probably 4 or 5 years before we even changed it. In fact, probably longer, because when I started Polka Dot Bride, it was like I was Polka Dot Bride.
Yeah,
I'm Dorothy Polka. I'm Miss Polka Dot. It's like my voice. It's like Brooklyn Bride was always the editor's voice, and it was all about me as the voice. So it didn't really occur to me that there was anything not inclusive about that. And then as a team, we sort of started fumbling about talking about it many years before we even did it. And then we started the process of rebranding with our beautiful rainbow, wonderful logo, which I adore. And I did a reader survey, and I started to understand from that if I was going to actually embrace this feeling that I had about being inclusive and diversity and pushing this as something that was really key, important to us, which it was, I couldn't do that called Polka Dot Bride. I couldn't do that with a name that was excluding people. So we changed it. And 3 years on, I'm still finding things I need to change. So it was not a small task. It was a process. We've written a guide that is going to come soon, actually, on helping other businesses on how to do it, because it was intense and scary and terrifying. And I'm not talking about like putting it out there to the world. I'm talking about the tech side, which is what held me back for so long.
Yeah.
It was never about the fear of putting it out to the world. I was always excited about that. It was the tech, because on a site like ours, like, we have hundreds of thousands of images, thousands and thousands and thousands of posts, so much tech that if we got this wrong, it could literally close our doors overnight. So it was really, really hard to get our heads around that. and all the steps that had to come into play with that, and the fact that, like, oh, well, we couldn't change the website at the same time as the name. So we changed our name in, like, October, and we launched the new website in February because, you know, Google gets really confused if you do one, if you do both at one time, because it's like, well, where is the actual site gone? Like, what have you done? Yeah. So there are all these technical steps that basically it kept me from changing it for a long time because I was so overwhelmed by it. But 3 years in, I am 1,000% grateful we did it and thankful, and I love it so much more than Polkadot Bride.
Well, it's just... it just is an all-encompassing, isn't it? Like, you know, and it was necessary. I think that's, you know,
100%.
You just reached, you really were, like you're saying, years ago, saying this is a necessary thing that has to happen.
Yeah, and I was uncomfortable if I want to tell these stories. So when we're talking about uncomfortableness, I was starting to get really cringy about using the word Polkadot Bride and then saying, look, we will include everyone. I was like, ooh, that's what I knew. I was like, I have to do this.
It has
to change.
And it is, like you're saying, something like that is uncomfortable. You know, so many, especially, you know, so many wedding vendors have been around for quite a long time and have, you know, names that they started with or particular, you know, details about their business that they've had since they've started. I think if something, I was really, you know, really excited for our name change, and I really hope that that can sort of give a bit of a glimmer of, like, come on, you can do this too. It's not necessarily, like you're saying, scary about changing it and what that means to anyone else, but the absolute behind the scenes clunky tech stuff, like, it can be done and it should be done. It should be a real priority. Like, everybody needs to be able to see this.
For most wedding businesses, it would be a much easier change because their websites are a lot smaller. So you look, when you've got a 10-page website, it's a lot easier to change it. You've obviously got to change your branding, you've got to change your Instagram, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it is, I say that because I don't want you to be scared off by the fact I've said it.
That's it.
So overwhelming. It's really not if you've got a smaller website. It's just for us, the sheer volume of stuff we had to change from 15 years.
Was so full on.
And thousands of posts was just a lot.
I'm laughing because it's sort of like a if you don't laugh, you'll cry. Like, but it's done now. I mean, it's still in the process of things being shifted over, but it's done and it's so amazing. It is.
But the bulk of it is done. And look, we didn't die.
Nah,
the traffic didn't drop. We're okay. And I'm proud of our business name now, which is the main thing.
And I think there's, you know, and that's it. You're proud of it. You took the uncomfortable feeling of it and went, well, hang on, why am I uncomfortable and what can I do about it? Don't, you know, you're not sitting there in the uncomfortable, you're going, right, how can we be better? How can we do this better? And I think we've had a lot of lovely positive feedback about the name change as well, which is not why we do it, but it you know, it's nice for that to be noticed of, hang on, we are trying to include everybody, which is what we love about what we do is, you know, everyone's stories. Like, it's the absolute reason we do this. So there's a name change. And what else do you think we're doing to make creating a space for diversity a focus?
I actually have a post written about this, you know, that I've been working on for probably, I don't know, 6 months, actually, since late last year, about all the things that we have done because...
Get it done. Get
I
it
need
done.
To say, firstly, there is a hell of a lot more we need to do.
Oh,
our website
God,
is not nearly as accessible as I want it to be. There is a lot of content that you and I have talked about that we want to produce that we have not yet had the capacity to do. And basically, this is always my problem, is capacity, right? But we've done we've done so many behind the scenes things. So our submission schedule is one that is really important to us. And so we have some plans around that and planning around that we ensure that we do to ensure that we have great diversity across the publication. We have done little tidy things like changing in our color book nude pink to beige pink because nude pink, if you think about nude, the color of nude and the color of nude pink is always Caucasian.
Yep.
You know, we've done these enormous things and we've done tiny things. So like with our podcast, every single guest gets a whole sheet before they come on to chat with us about all our inclusivity guidelines. It talks about the way that we want to use verbiage, the way that we want to make sure that the podcast is accessible. So every podcast is published with a full written transcript for those people that can't make use of the volume and hearing. And then there's other little changes like on Instagram and TikTok, every single time that there is a voice on a story, we make sure it is captioned on every single Instagram post. And it takes Miss Rose and I so long, but we do
it.
We write an image description.
So
What we always want to try and do is make sure that we're not looking at one segment of a community. So we don't just make sure that, oh, okay, we're ticking a box and we're making sure that we're including LGBTQ weddings. We also make sure that we're inclusive of disability. We're inclusive of plus size. We're inclusive of different ages. And there's a whole bunch more there that we really are conscious of to make sure that we're not focusing on one section of the community. But they're big changes and they're tiny changes, and we have so many more to go.
Well, and even with the tiny changes, I think tiny changes, you know, build up, you know, I think they're just as important, because it could be 100%. That one little thing that, you know, you sort of go, well, that was an easy change and I did it and whatever. I don't know, even know if anyone noticed, but there might, you know, it's not even about anyone noticing. It's for us to go, no, that didn't feel right. And it's a little thing, but little things add up. And I think.
And it's the activeness of those little things, yeah. Right? Because you, so there is a word, and I don't want to use the word because A, it is a slur, but B, it is also used by some businesses in Australia that I made sure that I went through the whole website and I pulled out of everything.
Yeah.
Except for the business name, unfortunately, because I need to credit the business. But there's tiny little
changes. We are big on crediting,
like
everyone, just so you know.
Crediting is the bane of our lives, but we are so committed to credit.
We're so.
But those words like, okay, and this is the thing too, right? In the last 10 years or 15 years, there are words that we used to use that now are considered slurs or are considered problematic. And unfortunately, some of those words have been used a lot in business names.
Yeah,
so for me too, it was also important that I went back and made sure that some of those words, or most of those words, all of those words were removed from our physical content as well. And imagery, you know, so there was a story, for instance, where we featured a styled shoot and the bride had a Native American big feathered headpiece on, which of course I removed. And I have rejected shoots in the meantime now that have had that, because it is cultural appropriation. So for me, it's also been, as I've learnt stuff from the amazing people that I follow who do so much of this for free, I understand that, though we do pay some of them because I think you should pay for labour, that as I have learnt more, I'm able to make those changes, right? So I never knew that a cultural appropriation factor was wearing a feathered headdress and how inappropriate that was on a Caucasian Australian white bride. So now I've removed that. So there's tiny little things that we've done behind the scenes.
Now we know. But it's something like a styled shoot, for example, where you look at it and you go, and can I just say, like the actual shoot, I remember that one, like the actual shoot was beautiful. It, you know, the headdress 100%. Was incredible. Yeah. Like it's beautiful, but that doesn't mean that it's right. That doesn't mean
because
that
intent,
it's okay.
In the end, intent, you can intend not to harm, but it kind of doesn't matter if you do cause harm.
Yeah.
But your intent doesn't matter if there is harm caused.
That's it.
So I want to make sure that as we're learning, we are doing better and we are making changes. And like I said, we have a lot to do. Our website needs to become a hell of a lot more accessible. There needs to be a lot more content around the stuff that we have talked about with inclusion. But we are making changes slowly.
It's also about how we find and produce the diverse content as well.
100%.
And I think I said it before that, you know, we are – really, all of us, all of the team, really actively searching for diverse content. And this is not a woe is us point.
Of course.
Because we're constantly looking for it. We're, you know, scouring Instagram and scouring photography and vendor websites. But a lot of the diverse content does not get shown. And that it's getting better. It's definitely, I've noticed it is getting slightly better to see, you know, different cultures, different abilities, members of the LGBTIQ+ community. But it's still very white and straight washed. And that makes it hard.
We really believe that it's our responsibility as a publication to seek out that content and not just say, oh, look, the stuff doesn't get submitted to us. What do you want us to do? We're not going to publish that stuff. No. For us, we actively go and seek this stuff out. And on the same token, I should say that one of the reasons that we actively use hashtags, so if there's a, for instance, a wedding where a bride is in a wheelchair, we will use the hashtag wheelchair bride, etc. And the reason we do that is not necessarily to tag and say, oh, hey, look, did you notice she's in a wheelchair?
Look what we did. Yeah.
It's more about the fact that we want our content to be easy to find. So if there is someone else, and I've talked to photographers about this who have said, look, I'm shooting a couple where the groom is in a wheelchair and we cannot find any examples. And he really wants examples of wedding photos where the groom is in a wheelchair because he can't imagine how he's going to, you know, how the photos are going to be taken. And I couldn't find anything. So I've built a whole Pinterest board on it for them. And also we hashtag our features like that because I want, if you are a groom in a wheelchair, I want you to be able to go wheelchair groom into Instagram and find a wedding where you can see yourself.
And find inspiration from that. Exactly.
Before we even get into the submission part, I wanted to clarify that as to why we point this stuff out, because we want that content to be easy to find.
And you're right. I agree in terms of it's our job to find what we, the content we want to produce. I'm so on board with that because it, you know, it's our publication. We get to choose what's on it and that's what we want to represent.
100%.
But I think it's like you're saying, tag it so that if, you know, if you are a vendor who has been involved in a wedding or a shoot or in a proposal or some type of wedding event, where there has been more representation, tag it because we want to see it.
It gets a bit tricky around some sectors of the community. So if you're looking at plus size, for instance, and a couple might not identify as plus size, so something that we really rely on is self-identification. So if the couple identifies as plus size or identifies as gender fluid or whatever it is that they identify as, that's what we'll take our lead from. So we're not just going, oh, they're clearly they're plus size, etc. We're taking our cues from the couple themselves.
Well, and that's another thing in terms of how you identify. Like something that businesses can do is, you know, when they're getting all the information from couples, you know, that they're working with, you know, ask them what their pronouns are, ask them how they identify, just so that it's so clear you're not making, you know, you're not deciding that for them. We're not deciding that for them. That's, you know, their narrative and their identity. So, you know, it's, that's, again, it's one of those examples of it's a small thing, but gee, it's a big thing. It's really, really a big thing. And that means that then when you're talking about content, if you want to do the tagging, if you want to label it a certain thing, you know, title, you know, a blog or, you know, or a gallery, a certain, you know, a certain title, you've got the permission to do that. You're not just deciding that it is. So,
and I think that's something that's really easy for vendors to do on their forms as well, making sure that they're not referring to bride one and groom and, you know, it's instead doing partner one, partner two, etc. These are tiny changes, and they're changes that we've made and we want to make more of in our back end in our submissions form just for that reason. Like we have to understand, was there a bride? Did they wear a dress or what did they wear? Like we're trying to fix that wording all the time to make sure that we aren't exclusive of people.
Exactly. And so, you know, we actively search for diversity. Yes. We also in that active search, that's, look, and it's a fun thing to do. You get to sit there on your computer and you look at Instagram, you look you look through all the Australian wedding vendors and you look on Facebook, you do a big search, but we also then also reach out and actively ask a lot of vendors for this diverse content because it's so important to us and it's, you know.
And something we do is we've set targets, and I know, like, really they could be called quotas, and quotas get a bad name, you know, like, oh, the corporate who has a quota for females, etc. But the reason we also do it is what we found was we'd go, right, we need to make sure that our diversity is up this week, we need to make sure, etc., etc. And then we'd go for this big sprint of finding beautiful LGBTQ plus weddings, and then we would realize we haven't featured any BIPOC, we haven't featured any disability. So really we were causing the same issue. And what those quotas also help us to do is you kind of become blind to the things that you're not used to seeing or you should be seeing.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes you unconsciously exclude because we generally as white people have grown up with inherent racism, right? So we don't think about this stuff. So it keeps us consciously understanding and planning in our calendar that we need to make room for these features and we need to consciously be ensuring that those stories get told, because otherwise we just get a bit too lazy in our laurels and we go, oh, we're busy, we've got to do this, we've got to do that, we've got to get a wedding up, and then suddenly we have no diversity or we have diversity skewed one way. So we do have quotas or targets, as we call them, a plan.
And also with that plan, we're not ticking, but like you said before, we're not ticking boxes. We're not saying, you know,
it's keeping us accountable.
It's keeping us accountable, but because we're so much about it, it is keeping us accountable, but because we're so much about the stories, we're not just going to throw on any wedding just because, say, someone is in a wheelchair or because they are a gay 100%. Couple. You know, it's definitely not – that's, you know, we're not going, oh, yes, throw that in, that's tick, that's that box done.
Yeah.
We read the stories. We read the stories. We you know, we hear all about it.
Make and if sure
it
doesn't, it's hitting all the targets and notes. It,
exactly.
Make sure it's hitting all the notes, yeah.
Make sure, that's and it. Like, it's not just a
throwing.
We spend
so much time – like, the amount of time I spend on Instagram and scrolling feeds and – unfortunately, like you mentioned earlier, the diversity is rarely there. It is a lot of Caucasian heterosexual mm-hmm. couples, which is great and fun.
And guys, it's beautiful. But
that's only part of the stories that need to be told and the stories that yeah. we want to tell. So we spend an inordinate amount of time seeking out that content. And if we didn't, then our content would be all white heterosexual couples. And that's just not the stories we want to completely tell. We want to make sure that we're telling everyone's stories.
We want to make sure that when you jump onto our website with a cup of tea or a glass of wine, you do a lovely scroll. You do a lovely scroll and you see yourself. You know, you read about yeah. yourself. You
and it's not hard to find yourself because there's lots of weddings of
exactly.
people that are like you.
Exactly. That's our whole through line. Like, that's what we want all the time. Our featured blog and our polka.u blog are our wedding stories about
yes.
couples. With the polka.u specialty blog, this is a really special, specific place for couples to write about their wedding day for us. Now, they get sent a questionnaire to fill out, so you have some guidelines, but really it's what you want to say about your day and
yeah.
you know, you as a couple, your family and your vendors. So that's really couple-led, which is really, really, really exciting. And I love reading those stories. That's one of my babies.
They
and
get to tell them the way they want to tell them instead of like us editing this and editing that. Of course, it's edited. But when we tell a story, we tell it in a very different way to when someone else tells a story. So
but
if
we
you
tell
are a
it
couple,
in our tone
come
and
tell
too.
Your story.
That's it.
We want
yeah,
it.
Come send it to us for polka.u because especially if you're someone who really loves to write, or if you find that as a really, you know, we've had a few couples recently who just really love to write and they just wrote really beautifully for polka.u. You know, if this is something that you love to do, write about your day. We want to hear about it. Yep. You know, it's definitely, you know, your story to tell.
And we never ever say no to anything for polka.u, by the way. We accept every single story that is couple submitted.
We don't. It's just really fun. Yep, absolutely. Which makes it so beautiful because also if you're not a writer, it doesn't matter. You could write two lines, but you know, it was really special to you. We want to know about it. Our featured weddings, which is where Miss Poker and Miss Peacock shine, are submitted to us or we find them. We write them in a way that is in the polka dot wedding tone. So, you know, while we have the information, it's still us writing them. So that they're the differences between those two. I think that can sometimes get a bit confusing about which is which.
I should say too that we have had weddings featured or shared in the past where a photographer has not been able to get in touch with the couple, unfortunately. And so there's been no story. They're like, oh, can you still share it? And unfortunately for us, or maybe fortunately, the story is one of the key parts because the details combined with the story is what tells everything about that day, that big picture. And it just, for us, we need those stories because they're so crucial to telling this is how the couple did it and made their day theirs. Without the stories, we've got nothing.
That's it. We don't just grab them and go, well, that's, we don't look at it and go, well, those are pretty pictures. Let's throw it up. Don't get us wrong. We love beautiful, beautiful photography. But like you said, if there's no context or depth behind that, we just don't do it. So if you're going to submit any weddings or proposals, etc., to us, get the story because that's pretty much a sure thing.
The story is what makes us get out of bed.
They're just honestly, like, that is what we totally live for. We, you know, open up and we start reading, open up our computers and start reading, you know, all these beautiful stories that get sent to us. And it's so special. It just really makes the job, doesn't it? So that's, you know, a what to submit to us. If you're a vendor sending through a wedding for us, for example, yeah, make sure that you get a story from the couple. If you're not sure sort of how to ask them or in terms of, you know, what to ask them for, reach out to us. We have a questionnaire.
Yeah, we have a wonderful questionnaire system too for featured, et cetera. We have all the questions you need. We can even email the couple. If you really don't want to email the couple, we will do that too.
We can do that. Look, yeah, we just love hearing the stories. So we can absolutely send that to them or send that to you to send to them. Or you can jump on our website and get that going. We need photos, surprise, surprise, high resolution photos, please. And if you're aiming to be on the featured blog, a lot of details. So the couple, you know, their family, but a lot of the details, like addresses or suits or tablescapes or flowers.
And it doesn't even need to be, like, often someone will say, oh, look, the wedding isn't full of detail, you're not going to like it. But it's not really about that. For us, it's about the way that it is shot. So, for instance, it's getting a good shot of the venue so that we have some context about the venue. It's getting some shots of perhaps the rings or perhaps the detail of the dress or the detail of the different elements. It doesn't have to be a detailed filled wedding. It has to be a wedding where there's lots of little moments and things that are captured so that we can easily tell that story. We've featured elopements. We love elopements. We casual weddings as much as we love the weddings full of everything and every bell and whistle. But it has to be captured in a way where people can understand the story that is being told.
Exactly. And if you're not sure, send it to us. If you're not sure, submit it. Like, you know, that's the, you know, if you're not in it to, I don't want to say win it. if you're not going to send it through, it's definitely not going to get, you know, get through to be exactly
100%. You've got to be, like you said, you've got to be in it to win it. You've got to be in it for a chance. But also don't forget vendor credits, because
oh my goodness,
we need those vendor credits.
We do. And it saves a lot of back and forth. You know, if you have everything ready to go for us, like a filled in questionnaire, like the high res image selection, like the credits, it's very rare that we're going to have to get back to you and be like, hey, we need some more. Usually we'll get it. If you send us all of that and we get it and it's everything we need, we will be praising you and be like, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, and it's ready to go. So we'll fit it into our content calendar and it'll be set.
And we can't tell you the amount of time we spend on that vendor crediting. We want to make sure that every single vendor is rewarded for the work that they do. Yep. So we will tag them on Instagram, on stories, on Facebook, because we believe every vendor needs to be credited. So we need that full vendor credit list. We haven't been to the wedding. As much as people have gotten very angry at us in the past for leaving off a credit, we would never do that unless it's not given to us. So we need those credits to make sure that everyone is rewarded for the work that they've done.
Exactly. And look, you don't need to be one of our directory members to submit to us. You know, we accept submissions from anyone, from couples, from any wedding vendors, preferably within Australia and New Zealand.
We need our stories to have an Aussie link, because we are Australian.
Yeah, exactly. But Ms. Poker, what else do we offer our members?
Look, our vendor members are... I'm so passionate about them because I just think they're amazing people. And one of the caveats or one of the mission statements of our directory is that we're helping you find vendors that suit you, not us. So our directory is not invitation only. It kind of, as we were building this new directory and even our old directory, it never really sat well with us that we had some criteria that members had to pass in order to be worthy of spending money with us. And having said that, we do have caveats. So, you know, the dress people that will rip off Australian designers, we will not accept. We will not accept anything to do with weight loss or cosmetic surgery, et cetera, because, of course, we believe you are beautiful the way you are. You don't need any of that stuff. So we do have caveats, but we welcome everyone and everyone to our directory because we understand that businesses are at all different stages, but also that people have all different tastes. So we offer annual and monthly subscriptions where you get to be a part of our directory. But not only that, you get access to a whole bunch of amazing content marketing stuff. So you get access to Miss Rose, for instance, who will help you produce
lucky you
amazing evergreen content that stays on our site forever and promotes you as less about just being, oh, look, here I am, sell my stuff, and more about I'm an amazing expert in my field.
That's it. That's where our special blogs come in. They are perfect for this sort of marketing.
Exactly. That you get a voice across all our sites. You also get things like a weekly business-related newsletter. You get opportunities to be on our podcast. So our podcast guests are purely Polkadot members because we believe that we probably should be asking them first, the people that pay us and work with us more than any other vendor at the moment. So we are offering those exclusively to our members on top of a whole bunch of more experiences. and opportunities that these members get. It's our membership program is a lot more than just set and forget advertising. We really ask our members to get involved with us to make the most of the content marketing that we provide to them.
And that's the thing about content marketing is that we don't just throw your work up and go, book these guys, because, you know, we're building trust with our readers and we want you to do the same. And we want our readers to know about you. We want them to hear your voice. We want them to see your talent and see your genuine love for the industry and figure out who they're going to gel with. And that's, you know, that's part of that marketing, you know, plan there. And that's something we really focus on and really make an important part of our jobs is reaching out to you guys to create this with you. And we love our directory members. You are all incredible. So super fun to work with as well, which is just a perk.
And I love that they have, like, if I was picking all our directory members based on, you know, my personal taste, that it'd all be one little segment of the community. Whereas I love that our members are these all different photography styles and all different floristry styles and all different price points and budgets and personalities, because there are all kinds of people in the world and it should be like that.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, I think that we have we've had a good old chat. We've had, you know, we've really.
Look, I'm surprised it didn't go an hour longer. To be
I know,
fair.
Yeah, which tends to happen to us when we have a meeting. So we've really reined ourselves in here. But lucky for you and I, we are going to do some more of these.
We are. We're going to cover different things every time.
We are.
Hopefully, the other poker people will join us.
And we do. We want to hear from. We want you to hear from our other team members as well. So please send us that feedback. Say we would like to hear from the other team members as well. Let's get them on here. But we do have some other episodes planned, ready to go for some more behind the scenes with us. And we just want to really talk about what we love and what we love, why we love what we do and why we love who we work with. And yeah, it's fun and we love doing the podcast.
Yeah. And I love this chat because we know how much work we have to do. We know we get it wrong. We know we're learning. We know this whole inclusion, diversity, equality journey is one that is really tricky and hard for the wedding industry. And we know that there's a lot of fear around it. And so I think it's been like, if we've been able to expose a little bit about the things and thoughts that we've had over the years, hopefully that will inspire someone else to make some changes in their business.
Exactly. Well, Miss Poker, thank you for chatting to me today.
Thank you for chatting to me.
Oh, my pleasure. And I look forward to doing it again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for the very first episode of a Behind the Scenes of Poker Dot Wedding podcast. You can find a full written transcript of today's show, of course, over on weddingpodcast.com.au, and we have all the links there as well. Now, this is a new one for us, so we definitely want to hear what you think. So make sure you hop on over to email, DM, Instagram, wherever you want to message us and let us know what you think. We are looking forward to sharing more of these with you. We'll be back in another 2 weeks with another episode.